we should start a podcast. Yeah, we've all said it. But when it comes time to make it a reality, we get stuck. Well, here's some good news. With Spreaker, all you need to start a podcast is a microphone and a good idea. Spreaker handles the recording, management, distribution, and monetization of your podcast, allowing you to focus on making a podcast. Whether you're discussing the latest moves in the tech sector or just your dating life, Spreaker gives you tools to make your podcast a hit and professional insights about who is listening and where. And as your podcast dream grows, Spreaker only becomes more useful, letting you upload and schedule multiple episodes at the same time, push to multiple platforms, and customize RSS feeds. But what about making money? With Spreaker, monetization is as easy as checking a few boxes. So next time someone says to you, "We should start a podcast," say yes and let Spreaker handle the rest. Learn more and get 30% off at Spreaker.com/get started. That's Spreaker.com/get started.
It is your Classic Metal Show right here on theclassicmetalshow.com. That is Ed Guy with Navigator. And just before that, we heard Nader Priest with some Russian Winter. And this is Neely facing the Russian winter, and I'm sure my good friend and partner Chris Aiken is facing the same thing. What is going on over there in Akron, Ohio?
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, there he is. I was wondering what happened to you, but here you are.
I'm here. I was waiting for you to connect to me.
Yeah,
you
know.
Have to connect to me now.
Let's see. I'm a little.
You've turned the process backwards.
Yeah, I know. Let me see here. A little loud here on my end.
I am?
No, I am.
Oh.
I was, I got to adjust this back here. Just a hair.
All right.
My output was just a little high because I was trying to kill the threshold on this a little bit because of that buzzing noise we get.
Yeah.
And I was trying to kill that by increasing the threshold a little bit so the noise can't get over the compressor here. So I think we're good.
You're talking a language that makes no sense to me, man.
Well, you got it all there in front of you. You see that little black bar in your effects rack there? The little black thing with about 10 knobs on it?
Yeah.
That's your compressor.
Oh.
You have one too.
I did not know.
See, I set you up with all the good stuff, and it's just like, I don't touch it. I just leave it alone. I just turn the mic on, and if it works, I'm not touching a goddamn thing.
That's right. That's real. The box itself, I'm going to tell you the extent. You bought this, when did you buy this?
Almost a year ago, yeah.
I'm going to tell you the extent of what I have changed on it in that year. I turned the lights off and pushed them in. And I've turned the microphones up and down once.
Right. Well, you know what? It's probably best you didn't mess with it.
Look, we both know I'm stupid. For the fact that I'm a computer programmer and I can learn a lot of shit, I cannot figure out this audio shit to save my life.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll have to give you a lesson in it.
No. I'll just keep doing it. It's working.
Yeah, I don't want to know. Just leave it alone.
Yeah, I don't want to know, and when I'm here next week by myself, it'll either be shitty or not.
Well, it shouldn't be shitty. I mean, all you have to do is roll out the cords and plug in a mic for your guest.
Yep, and that's already been done because I was thinking ahead because I'm so paranoid that it'll stink.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, I did mess around with the camera angle here a little bit, and I did I did get a light to where I'm not blinded like Manfred Mann.
Yeah, well, I have the new camera in, and of course, I don't know if you see it, but I don't see the switching. Do you?
To be honest with you, I'm not. No, it's not switching back and forth.
Yeah, so I don't know if there's something fucked up with the new camera or what, but whatever. I'm not going to worry about it.
All right. Whatever. See, we try to do something cool for the fans, you know, because personally, the whole camera thing, I'm glad we have it, but if we don't have it, it doesn't bother me one way or the other.
Yeah, but I'm not a huge fan of it either.
But we have it, and I don't know. I know that you posted the segments up on the Reddit this week, and I don't know what kind of reaction there was to any of that. So
I don't know. I think it'll take a while for it to catch and people to know. The people that want to be stalkerish and watch us talk, you know, they'll probably eventually lean toward it, but, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it just puts us in the same league as the other players,
I guess.
That's all I care about.
Right.
That's the only thing I care about.
Yep. Well, I'm with you there. Well, enough about the technical bullshit. I don't want to bore people with all that, but...
Yeah, we did enough of that last week.
we're trying. Let's just put it that way. We're just trying.
Exactly.
So, anyway, this coming week, I'm jetting out to L.A. for the band versus brand screening on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, NAMM starts up on Thursday. And it runs through Sunday. I'll be out there. I'm flying out Wednesday morning. Get out there by, 2:30, 3 o'clock, West Coast time, Pacific time. Grab the hotel, get settled in and go down to the screening. And then the induction ceremony for the heavy metal induction ceremony, Hall of Fame or whatever that thing is.
Right. Sure.
And hook up with our good friend Bob Nalbandian and, Toby and all the guys and go hang.
If you do nothing else, this is one time. The only time I'm going to make a very strong request that you pull your phone out and try and do an interview if you can.
Yeah.
If it presents itself, try to get 5 minutes with Max Norman.
Okay.
He's being inducted into this thing, and I am we all are huge fans of the work that Max Norman has done. You know, he's produced a zillion and five records, and, you know, including the most popular Megadeth records.
Right.
So I would love to, you know, hear a couple of things from Max Norman if you can find 5 minutes to corner him and say, hey, come over here.
Well, I will do my best. I'll put that on my checklist along with my offering Eddie Trunk $100 for the lint in his pocket.
Do you have a nice crisp hundy?
I do. Him? I absolutely do. I have a nice crisp $100 bill.
Nice.
That I'm going to present to Eddie Trunk if I have the opportunity.
Right.
And offer him $100 for the lint in his pocket.
Sure. Well, that'll be that. Make sure Nalbandian has his fucking phone.
Well, my nephew will be there, and Nalbandian will be there. So if Nalbandian, I'll make sure my nephew is at the ready.
Right. Well, that'll be good.
Yeah. So it's gonna be an ambush.
Well, we've been saying it for weeks. You know, this is if he listens or if anybody listens that knows him, he'll know it's coming.
Yeah. But, well, that's true, but we'll see.
Dude, that's good bar money from him.
That's true too.
Well, you guys will be at a bar.
Well, he drinks for free though, because he's Eddie.
That is true. But maybe once you give him the hundy, he'll buy you a drink.
Well, sure.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe he'll buy you a drink with your money.
Right. But I'm prepared to do that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is the best.
Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to it. Our good friend Serena will be at the screening.
Ooh.
So she's been texting me on and off all week saying, oh, it's going to be so good to see you.
Mm-hmm.
So
I love you some Serena.
Yeah, so I'll be seeing Serena, and she's going to come out and check out the screening. Bob has invited her to come out.
Nice, and you'll be checking her out, I'm sure.
And, I just plan on kicking back and having some fun.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
And getting out of the snow.
Get it? Oh, this fucking weather. Not that it's any shock. I guess complaining about it is stupid, but oof. You know, there's a lot of fucking snow out there.
Well, you know, we were, you know, at least here in this area, they were predicting anywhere from 3 to 9 inches, and we barely got 3, so I'm not going to complain.
Yeah, I haven't actually gone outside. I just hibernated, but looking at the pile on my mirror of my car, I would say probably 5 to 6.
Yeah.
That's a guess.
Well, we didn't get hit that hard, and, you know, we've had a pretty mild winter so far. This is literally maybe the fourth time it snowed all year.
Sure.
So I'm not going to complain, and plus I'm getting out of here on Wednesday, so, you know, whatever happens after that, I could care less.
Yeah, there's no real reason to complain about it, considering, remember in, like, September and October, all the fucking analysts were, this is gonna be the coldest, worst winter in the history of winters.
Well, you know what's funny is that that whole analysis for the winter has changed to, this is going to be one of the mildest winters on record.
Yeah. Global warming.
Yeah.
You people that deniers, you deniers are assholes. Yeah. It's global warming.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we won't get into that whole debate, but anyone who believes all that nonsense, I don't know. I looked into it, you know, a little bit, and I'm not even going to get into this whole debate, but I looked into the genesis of that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just one professor out in Southern California back in the 60s.
Right.
Who more or less made a proclamation that I think this is happening.
Right.
And everybody went, oh, it is? And and so decades later, the guy is like, I don't think he's living anymore. I think the guy, I don't remember the professor's name. But decades later, the guy is in his late 80s, early 90s. And so they went and interviewed this guy and said, you know, here we are 40 years removed from your original proclamation, declaration, whatever. Do you still stand by that? And he goes, "Ah, you know what? A lot of my studies were flawed."
And he says, "What?"
He goes, "I'm not, you know, I'm not so sure that my facts and my findings were, you know, accurate."
Yeah, I already got paid for this shit, so now I can tell the truth. I really have no idea.
Yeah, well, that's more or less what he said. You know, it's just like, yeah, it doesn't. It's not what I thought it was.
Right.
You know, it was just a hypothesis.
Mm-hmm.
But and now, but the globalists, they were looking for anything to hang their hat on for world control and control of currency and control of power. And they go, well, this guy said it, so it must be true. So we're going to tax you because you're putting out too much pollution.
That's right. I just believe the people that believe in global warming are the same people that believe that you can have a dick and be called ma'am.
Exactly.
It's the same people.
It is the same people.
And that really says all you need to know as far as making a decision on if you believe it or not.
Right. Exactly. Well, talk about believing things.
Okay.
This is something you turned me on to this week, and I watched it last night, was that Firefest video.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you know, I've been waiting since last night to talk about this, so I'm going to talk about it now. Since we always seem to open the show talking about our latest, what we watch and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since you more or less watched this, and you tipped me off to it, and then I watched it, give me your breakdown and scenario on what you think about it from the jump, and then I'll give you my thoughts on that.
All right. Well, before I even do that, did you watch the one on Netflix or the one on Hulu?
I watched the one on Netflix.
See, and I watched the one on Hulu. This will be good.
Okay.
Because there's actually two. They were both released in the same week.
Well, see, I thought it was the one you told me about.
Well, it's the same festival, but for whatever reason, this story is such a big event that both of them felt the need to cover it, and they actually, between Hulu and Netflix, they had a battle of who could get their documentary out first.
Okay.
So it's a big deal in the streaming world, apparently.
Yeah, I don't have Hulu, so I was not able to watch that, but I did watch the one on Netflix.
Yeah, I sent the link that I sent you is the one from Hulu.
Yeah, I know, but it was just a trailer.
Really?
Yeah, it's just
when it was an hour and a half. And
no, it's just it was just a trailer.
Oh, sorry.
Just advertising the documentary.
Sure. Well, it's the same festival, so we could certainly have the same. We could certainly make opinions. As far as what do I think?
Yeah. Well, just give me your kind of breakdown, blow by blow, anywhere from not the overall premise of the thing, but maybe some of the characters involved with this, as far as the people maybe they interview. I don't know what the Hulu one was like, but
yeah,
in the one for Netflix, they interviewed people who were contracted to do something for this thing, to the people who actually attended it, to people who actually worked on the grounds to set this thing up.
Sure.
So give me your thoughts here.
Well, in the Hulu one, they talked to a bunch of those people as well. They actually talked to the guy, Billy McFarland, the scumbag that did it.
Right.
You know, and they talked to Ja Rule, who was involved, the famous rapper.
Right.
And, you know, for people that don't know, Firefest was this, it was like a millennial, I would say, if you're looking for something to compare it to, it was like a millennial attempt at Woodstock.
But in a higher echelon setting.
Right, yeah. It was definitely not meant for poor hippie scumbags.
Out on a farmland. It was supposed to be like a luxurious getaway with the who's who in social media and, you know, what do you want to call it? It was like an exclusivity type thing.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely was. And it just turned out to be what we always see on these little festivals. It was an absolute scam. You know, this guy McFarland just screwed everybody. Everybody from the people he hired to promote it, to the artists, to the, you know, to the people on the island, to the you know, the customers that bought these tickets. And these tickets were not cheap. Some of these tickets were, it was in the Bahamas or somewhere. And what were, didn't I see some of the tickets were as high as like $100,000
for a ticket? Well, they were selling packages. Like, right. You know, well, if you just want to attend this thing, it costs X amount of dollars and you'll get a tent to sleep in.
Right.
Or if you want a, you know, a yacht, you know, you have exclusive use to a yacht off the shore, it's this amount of dollars. And if you want a, you know, a prime house or what do you want to add, like an Airbnb type situation, it's this amount of dollars.
Right.
You know, and it was just like the packages ranged from just attending the thing to having the basic accommodations to having the best of the best.
Right. So they set this thing up, and when they set this thing up, it became obvious to everybody except the customers really fast that it was a scam.
Right.
Is the way it looked to me, because it seemed like even when they were talking to the people about the event itself happening, they were saying that you know, they knew for a fact that it couldn't be pulled off in the amount of time that they needed. They were, at least on the episode I was watching, they were saying that an event this big usually requires like 18 months minimum.
Yeah, well, in the one that I watched, they said you need to have at least a year.
Yeah, and they gave them, what, 4 months?
Yeah, four to like 5 months from the time it was announced to the time it was supposed to take place.
Yeah, it was insane. And what they did, and this is where it ties into what we do, what we talk about a lot here on the show, what they did was used social media to sell this thing. They didn't have anything really put together at all. It was just bullshit.
Well, it was an idea. It was just an idea.
But they took that idea and sold a shit ton of tickets for it. They sold tickets and airlines and lodging and you know everything for this thing, and none of it was real. It was just bullshit. And they hired who was the one they hired that was worth $250,000 for her Instagram?
Oh, Kendall, was it Kendall
Kylie Jenner?
Kendall Jenner.
Yeah, one of them Jenners, and they said that. The minute that she promoted it on her Instagram, it sold like thousands of tickets or something.
Yeah, they gave her $250,000.
Yeah.
Just for one post.
For one fucking Instagram post. That had to make you sick when you heard that.
Well, I laugh at people who worship these people.
Sure.
Because, you know, as the old saying goes, these people are famous for being famous.
Yeah.
You know, they've done nothing.
Nothing at all. I mean, Kendall Jenner doesn't even have a sex tape out that I'm aware of.
Yeah. So it's not that these people ever did anything, but the people who follow them and basically do everything that they recommend.
Yeah.
It's like, what kind of people or sheep are you?
Well, it is the creed of the millennial. What are all the millennials asking for? They want everything handed to them without having to do anything.
Right.
Kendall Jenner, Kylie Jenner, the Kardashians, that is the fucking shining star example of how to become a billionaire without doing anything.
Right.
I mean, what have they done? Released one sex tape that was below average. And have they done anything else?
No, they haven't. But again, if their father hadn't represented OJ.
Yeah, and hid the knife.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
You know. Would anybody know Kardashian? Would anybody know them? I mean, they raised out of the ashes. I mean, Kardashian had a lot of high profile cases aside from OJ through years. Mm-hmm. But had the OJ trial not been televised and followed so closely, nobody would know Robert Kardashian.
Well, but I'm going to disagree with you slightly here. I certainly think that put the name in the public.
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying there.
But that's not what put the Kardashians on the map. The Kardashians, Kim Kardashian got famous as the second tier Paris Hilton.
Well, I understand, but who is Kim Kardashian if she didn't have a famous father?
Well, I get that, but she was a hanger-on with Paris Hilton. And when Paris Hilton's star started to wane a little bit, then Kim Kardashian followed the blueprint. Fuck that Ray J guy, put the tape out there and, you know, and found fame and surpassed Paris Hilton in the fame for nothing game.
Well, but the thing is no one would know who Paris Hilton is if her family did not own the Hilton Hotel dynasty.
True. True. Absolutely.
So nobody would know who Kim. I'm sure that who did you say Kim banged?
The Ray J, the rapper.
Okay. So Ray J, I'm sure he's banged a bunch of chicks, but they didn't get famous because they didn't have famous fathers.
Yeah, well, could be.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Without the connection of having that name recognition already.
Yeah.
Just because some chick banged Ray J on a video, people aren't going to say, "Oh man, I got to be like that girl." No, they only know her because they're a prominent family in the LA scene.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's true. And oof, boy, that video is bad though.
Well, regardless of that, But here we go. I'm going to give you my thoughts on this.
Go ahead.
So I'm watching this video, and they're interviewing all the people behind the scenes who promoted it, built an app to doing the web work to, you know, shooting the, you know,
the video.
Yeah, the video, the advertising video or the promotional video and this and that. And I'm watching and listening to these people speak. Mm-hmm. And how they interact. I have nothing in common with any of these people.
Oh, no.
These are people I would never associate with in a million years.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, every guy that works in that medium, in the social media, and promotes and works with apps and all, they're all just this
soft.
This soft, wormy, icky, just I don't know what it is. They're not men.
No,
they're just, I don't know what, they're just gooey, you know. They look like, I don't even know what you want to call them, because they're androgynous almost.
Yeah,
they look male, but they're, the way that they speak and their mannerisms, and they're all soft and effeminate.
But that's why they're good at social media,
I guess.
Because what they put out there is this neutered, hey, everything's fun for everybody.
Ugh.
You know, use every emoji under the sun in every post that they put. That's what they are. They're you know, soft, androgynous dorks.
Yeah, I just sat there watching as each one of them came on the camera, and all I could do was sit there and size them up for a coffin.
Yeah.
You know, I just disgust. I'm just like, what is that?
Yeah, you definitely wouldn't run into them at the Megadeth show.
No, of course not. You know, and they're all those hipster guys, you know, with the man buns.
That's a bad look.
You know, the whole man bun thing, and I don't know, man. It is just so weird. It's just so faggy. Everything about these guys are faggy.
Dude, we've become those bitter old men that we used to make fun of.
I get it. But the thing is that, you know, there were people that you and I grew up with, and you know, didn't get along with everybody, and you thought, oh, that guy's a, you know, that guy's a real asshole, or that guy's a dick, or that guy's this. But rarely did you go, that guy's faggy.
Yeah, no.
Unless, of course, he was, you know. But now, this whole generation of those guys, it's just like, what is that? Where did they come from?
Yeah, it's definitely odd to us. And dude, believe me, I think about this all the time because I'm so thankful that my boys are actually men and not fucking fruits. But, you know, seeing it firsthand, and, you know, obviously with my kids growing up in this generation, I've seen quite a bit of this. And I've, you know, you have to confront it in your own head anyway. And it really reminds me of, you know, I don't think about them as much because whatever, they're dooming themselves to whatever life they're leading themselves to. That's their own fucking problem. But I look at us, our age, our generation, and I think back to like our grandparents bashing our parents for liking the Beatles.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, my dad was one of those guys, you know, it's like the whole long hair. That's definitely out, you know, and that kind of stuff.
And if you had long hair, your dad would easily tell you, you're going to be a sissy when you grow up.
Right. Of course.
You know, and now that's, you know, your old man just accepts it because he realizes that you didn't become one.
Right. Of course.
You know, but, you know, there is that element to it. And I'm certainly not justifying anything millennial. I'm not. It's to me, it's embarrassing. It is embarrassing beyond embarrassing to see these dudes that don't want to be dudes.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really what it comes down to. It's not that they can't be. It's that they choose not to be.
Right.
They choose to be androgynous fruits.
So I see all these group of people. What's the name of the guy who was behind this whole thing?
Billy McFarland.
Okay, Billy McFarland. So this kid, you know, I'll give him props that he was very driven, very motivated.
He was the most macho of all of them.
Yeah, he definitely was. You know, he looked pretty much like a regular dude.
And you know what though, dude? And I don't know if you thought this, and certainly tell the story, but just based on how he, I don't know if you saw interviews with him or whatnot.
Yeah, they did interview him.
Okay, so based on how he presented himself. The fact that he did come off more manly than everybody else told me right away why he was able to get away with
this. And I was going to actually go there.
Yeah.
So yeah, because he definitely was the alpha male.
Exactly.
In this organization.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was a fast talker, and he sort of had a certain amount of charisma about him.
Sure.
And, you know, obviously he did because he knew, you know, living in New York City, the financial hub of the world, somehow he was able, at his young age, was able to network himself in with people with a lot of money.
Right.
And got some of these people to put up, you know, literally $2-3 million.
Right.
Toward this thing because he talked a good game.
He did. He was able to convince people that, you know, that the idea was real and valid, and nobody, it's amazing to me. They showed him with some, was the guy an oil guy or something that invested like $500,000 right out of a meeting or something.
Right.
And I was fascinated by that the guy, you know, the guy has made billions of dollars in oil and he just ripped off a check like it was nothing. No research, no, hey, let me see anything. He watched a presentation and met with the guy, signed a handshake, and handed him a fucking check.
Right.
For $500,000. Where's that guy? I need to meet with him.
But, you know, and you know, what was kind of sad is the fact that they did this in the Caribbean, and they involved a lot of the locals to do a lot of the groundwork and do a lot of the construction and, you know, provide a lot of the services and this and that. And these people are not rich. They're right. they're just eking out a living on the tourist trade.
Right.
You know, that's what their whole business is eking out, they're scratching out a living, you know, in the tourist trade. And, you know, they're not millionaires. They're just small business owners over there that, you know, participate in a cottage industry, whether it's a hotel or a restaurant or a bar or something.
Right.
And all these small businesses got involved because they were looking at this as, okay, this is a... You know, this is going to be an opportunity for me to pad my bank account a little bit.
Sure.
And this whole thing came and went, and these people walked, you know, basically walked away with nothing. And they were broke. They had to dip into their own money to cover the expenses of the carnage that was left.
Right. And some of the people had trouble getting, like, home.
Yeah, they did. And, you know, the thing is that this Ja Rule, again, I'm not a rap fan.
Sure.
And I don't really know much about this guy. I've seen him, you know, but as far as, you know, his whole thing, what is this guy's appeal? I don't get it. You know, everything is, yo, man, you know, fuck that shit. We're going to do this. Yeah, it's like, what is this guy's appeal?
I don't know. I didn't fully... I mean, I'm not a Ja Rule fan, and you know me, I like rap, so I'm aware of Ja. I'm not a huge fan of him. I don't. He's never really done anything that's been like huge. You know, it's not like he's like had some big festival that worked or anything that was his. And Firefest, I guess, was his thing, but it failed dynamically. But he's still like out there talking about doing other shit.
Well, here's the thing that. What is that guy's name again?
Billy McFarland.
Okay, Billy McFarland. This guy got sentenced to 6 years in prison for you know, false advertisement or fraud and wired fraud and all these kind of fraudulent charges.
Sure.
This Ja Rule walked away with unscathed.
Yeah, nothing.
Nothing. And he was as involved with it as anybody.
Yeah, and they showed him on some show, like, after it, laughing about it.
Mm-hmm.
They showed him doing some TV show, and he was laughing about it after. He's like, fuck it. It just fucking went bad.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
But, I saw the lineup of supposed talent that was supposed to play this thing.
Yeah.
I only recognize one name.
Blink 182 or anything?
That's the only one I recognized.
Yeah. The rest of it was just horse shit.
Yeah. But this whole social media thing, when it comes down to... Well, we invited the influencers.
Yeah.
It's like, how in the world does somebody capture people's attention so closely that they can basically say, well, this is a cool thing to do, or this is a cool product to buy, or this is a new whatever, and people will just do what they say?
Because the millennials are stupid.
I guess.
Anything. They don't know how to live their life outside of their fucking phone, dude. If their phone says that it's cool, then that's cool enough for them. They don't. There's a lack of earning respect in today's youth, you know, and that's really what it comes down to. It's, you know, back in our day, and God, I sound like the old man.
Well, but it is true, though.
But, you know, back in our day, let's take a band like, Motley Crue. Just throwing, because they were huge, obviously. They didn't get huge because someone said that they should be huge. They had to go out there and prove it. They had to go out there and tour it. They had to go out there and, you know, sign autographs and do crazy shit and be in the news and, you know, make their name known. And they had to do all this crazy shit, which, and back it with good music to boot. Today, you know, all you really need is, like they showed on this show, that you just need, what's her name, Kendall Jenner, to say, hey, this is going to be something cool. And that's all the more cred that you need, is for somebody that's famous to say, well, this thing's going to be cool. And nobody has to earn it. Nobody has to prove it. It's just it's just pathetic how led to the slaughter these lemmings are.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it's pretty wild. And the thing is that, and, you know, I'm not going to drag this out, but to wrap this up, and if you're interested in seeing this, it's both on, there's a version on Netflix, and as Chris mentioned, there's a version on Hulu.
Right.
And the thing is that that Billy guy, he got arrested.
Right.
And he was, let go on bail. And then he hooked up with another guy who used the mailing list, the emailing list, the Firefest people who were on the emailing list.
Right.
And they were peddling tickets to stuff that there weren't even tickets available for.
Yeah, tickets to like Victoria's Secret's shell cases.
Yeah, and the Masters golf tournament and, yeah. And you know, say like the Golden Globes Award, where they don't even sell tickets to the public for stuff like that.
Well, but he had to make his money to pay his lawyers somehow.
I understand, but my point is that even after this epic failure and getting caught with his hand in the cookie jar, as it were,
right,
didn't stop him.
No, not at all. The man had to make his money, dude. He couldn't be slowed down by nonsense like legalities.
Yeah, I guess. But, yeah, it's definitely fascinating, and it's definitely a lesson in people who, and I don't think a majority of our audience is like this at all, if any of them are, I don't know.
Yeah.
But hopefully, I would like to think that somebody who watches that would maybe wake up a little bit and go, you know what, I need to kind of tailor off or get away from the social media stuff, because it just... I have been against it from the very early on, and I know it has a purpose. We obviously use it for the show,
sure,
but it is detrimental, especially the people who live their entire existence on social media. Everything that they do.
What cracks me up is not only the people that live their actual existence on social media, but the newest trend on social media is people that invent a different life on social media than they're actually living. Have you heard of this?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, you know, how exciting is going to work every day and earning a living and paying your bills and coming home at night? I mean, how exciting is that?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And, dude, there's definitely people that are out there that are like, I got told that I was an asshole because I said this to somebody. It's like, just stop. Stop inventing shit over and over and over. It's like, how many people are you talking? And they'll do it every day.
Right.
Every day, because they don't get enough attention, or they start feeling like they're getting some attention. So then they do it every day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and then it turns almost into fucking almost like morning zoo radio with that. Well, I got a friend, and that friend, you know, it's that kind of shit. And it's like, what are you doing? Get off the social media. Go actually have a fucking real interaction, not a fucking social media interaction.
I agree with that. But it's crazy. it is definitely a failed experiment in hype on social media, and the people that buy into it just because they think, oh man, that's going to be cool.
Yeah.
That's the coolest.
Definitely not the coolest. Definitely.
Well, you gotta hand it to the organizers who were behind that Coachella.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that kind of just rose up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And it's very successful, at least from what I understand. And it's way out there in the desert.
Yeah, that one has turned into a very big... The only thing bad about Coachella is it used to be like a hip thing, and now it's just a fucking rich thing.
Well, of course it is. But I mean, but the thing is the promoters or the people who developed it, whatever they did to make that happen, they did it right. Because obviously it is kind of the hip thing to go to if you're into that, I guess.
Sure. Well, dude, and it's like that, all these festivals... You know, it's funny because they all start out as being like this underground thing, you know, and then what ends up happening every single time is the money gets involved and it ruins it.
Right.
It, you know, Coachella will fall eventually, But I mean, if you think about it, think about like Rock on the Range. That was cool. Then money got involved and then it stopped being cool. Rocklahoma. Remember how Rocklahoma was like our festival?
Yeah.
It was our kind of festival for this kind of music. And now it's just every other fucking festival.
Mm-hmm.
Rock USA used to be a big one. The same type thing that it was all like, you know, classic metal, classic rock. And now it's all, you know, modern music and all of it. Even Lollapalooza back in the day. Remember how Lollapalooza, and I'm sure you probably never went to Lollapalooza.
No, I mean, it's here in Chicago every year. And the Lollapalooza, when it started way back in the 90s,
mm-hmm.
They used to have several Lollapalooza happenings around the country.
Sure.
And now it's only one place here in Chicago.
Right. And but when it started, too, it was a real hodgepodge of bands. I mean, it really was. I mean, it was led by Jane's Addiction, but it was a bunch of bands that you wouldn't expect to see together. You know, you'd see Jane's Addiction and Wu-Tang Clan and, you know, Gwen Stefani. And, you know, it was like bands with different styles all across the board. And, you know, the last time I went to Lollapalooza was, you know, they had Metallica and Soundgarden. I was like, and they were like on top of the world at the time. It just became another big, big music fest. It wasn't underground anymore. It wasn't as cool anymore.
Right.
And that happens with all of these things. You add money to them, they start making a little money, and then they lose their focus to just cash.
Yeah, of course. So, yeah. Well, it gets very commercialized and there's a lot of money involved. And, you know, the promoters make out like bandits.
Yeah, it's just sad, like especially like Rocklahoma, because Rocklahoma was such a cool fest at first, and I don't think it has any of its identity anymore, does it?
They tried a lot of the newer stuff, and it didn't do very well, and then they started doing more of the 80s stuff again.
Okay.
And kind of brought it back up, and now I think it's like almost like an even mix. But even then, I don't know if you know where Pryor, Oklahoma is, but that's out in the middle of nowhere, too, which is pretty amazing in itself that people travel out into the middle of Oklahoma where it's not really near anything. I mean, it's kind of north of Oklahoma City, but right. Oklahoma City is not exactly a huge mecca either. You know, it's a mid-sized city, but mm-hmm. but this Pryor, Oklahoma, it's out there in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
And
people did for a while. Everybody traveled there to go see that show.
Yeah.
You know, but now, no, there's no reason to, because the same show comes to every town now.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, the same people that are playing Rocklahoma are playing Rock USA and are playing whatever they're calling Rock on the Range now. What is that? Spirit something?
Something like that, I guess.
They renamed it because the... That's a whole thing. You want to talk about money polluting this. The promoter of Rock on the Range quit the company that was set up as Rock on the Range and started another festival with all the same people and all the same bands.
Right.
But that way he could cut out all the people that he had to pay, and now he gets more of the money.
Sure.
What a nice move.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's all, I don't know, it's just sad in a way, because you just can't go see music anymore without dropping $300-$400.
Yeah, true.
Just fucking sucks.
Well, money ruins everything, doesn't it?
Sure does.
Yeah.
That's why we're not making any.
I guess.
We don't ruin this show.
Well, that is true. And I mean, we've had that conversation 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fine with it.
Yep, me too.
I am fine with it. All right, well, we've blown through the first hour already.
Jesus, wow.
But, yeah, I recommend going to see or checking out, whether it's on Hulu or Netflix, the whole Fyre Fest documentary. Because, mm-hmm. Boy, that's just, it's just amazing how gullible the public has become by relying so much on, you know, whatever you see on social media or whatever the Kardashians suggest.
Right.
That's what you're going to do, because they said it was cool.
Yeah. So therefore you have to go do it.
Yeah.
People are stupid.
They are dumb. Well, more power to them.
Yep.
All right. Well, I think we're going to take a short break here.
All right.
And I'm going to play something I haven't played in a while. Something that was pretty cool. Another thing that was pretty cool when it came out. Okay. And actually, this is something you actually turned me on to, and they've been on our show a couple of times, is the Fireball Ministry.
I love them.
Yeah. And what is the guy's name? Reverend
Jim something? Maybe.
It's been a while.
Reverend something.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he's been on the show a couple of times. So I'm going to play some Fireball Ministry, probably their hit.
Their boss hit bounce single.
King.
Reverend James A. Rhoda.
There you go. James Rhoda.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm going to play a couple of tunes. We'll be back. We'll get rolling here. So here it is. It's Fireball Ministry exclusively here
on your Classic Metal Show.
Hey, this is James Rhoda from Fireball Ministry, and you're listening to the Classic Metal Show.
Right now, savings count more than ever. So what if you could unlock extra savings on any project? With an extra 5% off all eligible purchases using the Lowe's Advantage card, you can. From an extra $6 off sanding that deck to saving another $75 on that new fridge, the extra savings make every project even better. Last year, cardholders saved over $300 million. Join them and start your next project with a Lowe's Advantage card. Subject to credit approval, exclusions apply. See store or lowes.com for details. U.S. only.